What's going on, everyone? This is Mike, and welcome to the Barbell CEO podcast. And today we're going to discuss Olympic weightlifting, more specifically peaking for meets. And I know some of you aren't competitive weightlifters, or maybe you're a beginner, or maybe you just want to learn more about, you know, the training and really the programming and how you want to peak. And this is what it's going to be about. And, you know, this is people who maybe done different types of competitions, powerlifting, whatever it is. A lot of it is peaking the CNS, but also preparing you for the meet. And it's kind of a good time to do this. Personally, I'm about a week and a half out from IWF Masters Worlds, which I'll be lifting like the first week of December. So I'm, you know, at the tail end of my peak. I have a couple lifters lifting this weekend, upcoming weekend at the American Open Finals 2022 in Atlanta. So they've kind of, you know, been through the peak here. And then actually I have a couple different athletes, you know, Wadapalooza is coming up down in Miami. So, you know, there's people doing that. And then there's meets all over the world, all over the US. So peaking is a very normal part of that Olympic weightlifting community, but there's not a lot of a lot of stuff out there. I'm browsing the internet, and I mean, I've been doing it now for years, and I know a lot of coaches have their methods, but I just wanted to share some general overview for people who maybe aren't as familiar with it. Maybe they're thinking about doing their first meet, or maybe there's coaches out there who, you know, are just looking to refine their methods. I always, you know, keep track of all my peaks. I keep track of all my athletes' peaks. And the more you have that relationship with an athlete, you know, you can fine tune and tweak it. You can look back and see what worked, what didn't, what can I remove, what can I not. And that's kind of the value of doing, you know, multiple meets and peaking. But it is a long-term kind of process. You have to really set up a peak properly with other phases. So I'm going to kind of go through that quickly. And then I'm going to talk about purpose of the peak, how to program for peaks, sets, reps, exercise selection, how to kind of think about your training the last, you know, couple of weeks or a month out. And then even kind of go into the meet week programming there. But first, real quick, if you guys, whatever you're listening to this on, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcast, wherever, I appreciate you guys listening and tuning it in. If you guys could leave me a review, that would be awesome. I read every single one of them. So super helpful. I know we had, based on the analytics here, we had a pretty good turnout there for the last episode, which I talked about my favorite weightlifting complexes. Just trying to keep this content going. It's relevant right now in that space. So we're going to keep pushing that out there. But again, just leave me a review. I appreciate it. You can also find me on Instagram, Mike J. Dewar, and you can get at me there. But let's get into all about peaking. So what is peaking? And peaking, P-E-A-K, peaking. Peaking for a meet, just like how some of you peaked in high school, we are trying to peak for a certain day for a weightlifting meet. And I'm just joking about peaking in high school. It's, I'm sure everybody can flourish later in life. So typically a peak, when we're doing that, there's a couple of reasons that we want to do that, and we can collect some data throughout that to help guide us on the meet day. So first and foremost, the idea of a peak is, you know, over the course of maybe 3, 4, 6 weeks, we are increasing our intensity, meaning the percentage of someone's 1RM, increasing the intensity while simultaneously slowly pulling down the overall training volume to allow for higher outputs in terms of percentage of 1RM. So we're having, you know, lifters be consistently touching 85-90% loads. And then we're also removing some of that volume to allow for recovery and not really have too much of that fatigue, or, you know, not contribute to already existing fatigue that is building just from the high stress of lifting heavy frequently for the final month or so. So that's the first part, is really we want to expose athletes and their central nervous system and their confidence, all of that, to heavier loads, right? Because the sport of weightlifting is not how many reps you can do is 70%. And anybody who's tried to do, you know, workouts where maybe they're used to training below 70 or 80%, and then they go to pick up a heavy snatch or heavy clean and jerk, you don't get away with bad techniques. So you have to learn how to really refine your technique at heavier loads, get confident with it, be strong in certain positions. And while you should be addressing this, I would say probably that 6 to 12 week period out where you're doing a lot of positional strength, you're still training heavy in that 80-90% range. But when we're in this peaking phase, it's all about, you know, heavy singles or heavy complexes. We want to make sure we're touching 85% or more on most days. Because the goal of that is, and this is something that when I tell lifters who are going through peaks, you're going to have your ups and downs, right? Like I'll have days or maybe even a couple days or a week where, you know, you're coming in and you should be performing at a high level and your body's just not there. But those are the days you have to continue to push. You're trying to force adaptations in the body. So we're accumulating a ton of fatigue and we're just, you know, almost kind of doing what your body is going to give you and you take it. And, you know, we always think about the top numbers, right, in that training where I hit a PR. I'm under the assumption you might hit some PRs in training, but I'm trying to get you to PR on stage. So my goal with my athletes and with my own training and peaking is I always tell myself I'm trying to raise the floor, not the roof, right? If I raise the floor, meaning am I consistently able to hit 90% in a peak, even if it feels heavy, I'm still hitting it, right? Because, you know, months ago, 12 weeks, 14, 16 weeks out, hitting 90% was like a good day. Well, I want now, even on my worst days, to be able to hit, you know, maybe in the beginning of the peak, 85, 90%. And then, you know, the last couple of weeks or so, maybe 2 to 3 weeks, I should, no matter how I feel on that day, tired, not motivated, I should be able to step in there and I should be able to hit heavy loads. And that's kind of my idea is, you know, you're going to have those days where one day you're going to walk in and you're going to, you know, lift, you know, whatever. Like one day I'd walk in and I would clean like 300 and I'd be like, oh my God, that feels great. You know, pretty close to my own rep max. The next 2 days later, I come in, I barely clean 275, right? You're going to have swings like that, but you have to recognize that even those low swings in a peak are still pushing you towards that progress, right? And that's where you're trying to do. You're trying to accumulate a ton of volume with heavy weight, while also simultaneously cutting volume out with all the extracurricular activities like, you know, high rep squats, a lot of pulls, you know, all your accessory work. You're still doing some, but you're doing just enough. And especially that last like 2 to 3 weeks to do a really like hypertrophic movement or exercise, you know, doing 8, 12, 15 reps. Your muscle's not going to build muscle that, you know, within that 2 week period. So you might want to think about kind of dragging that back a little bit to not have any existing fatigue just get compounded by you doing more work, because the idea of this peak again is to increase your intensity. So by the end of it, you're able to hit, you know, 100% or more on stage, and you don't want to be doing other things, especially the cost to your system is a greater cost closer to your meet than it is further away. So you can get away with some stuff earlier in a peak than you can leading up to it. So that's kind of, you know, how I would categorize like the purpose of the peak, right? Is we want to prepare the body, prepare the central nervous system. There's a lot of adaptations that happen there. Obviously, you know, when I kind of touch like 85% on a bar, there's always like a shift in my mind. Sometimes, you know, it's people have like a certain number on the bar where they get freaked out. You got to really work on that. And that this is the time to do it, right? To get some confidence under heavy loads, to just kind of attack some heavy weights, because that's what's going to be necessary on stage. So this is the time where we're training on that. And then we're letting our body recover by slowly pulling out some of that extra volume, extracurricular stuff. And until it comes to an end where you're at the peak, you're at the meet. Now you have a bunch of data. You saw all the heavy singles you were hitting on your best and your worst days. And that helps you then go into that meet, plan your attempts, and just be more on point, have some more confidence walking into it. So that's kind of the general overview of how I would describe a peak and the purpose of it. Now, the peak is your ability, it's the body ability really to realize the strength that you now have, right? And to kind of back up here, when I think about programming for a meet, my programming windows start like 20 weeks back, right? Maybe even more. But I start from that meet day, and I like doing a 6-week peak It's kind of a slower peak because then I kind of have a buffer week in there, like maybe that 3 or 4 weeks out, I can kind of give them a slight deload. Sometimes I have to do 4 weeks based on timetables, but I like 4 to 6 weeks for a formal peak. Prior to that, I'll do a good like 4 to 6 week training block. I'm kind of backtracking here. So, you know, I have the peaks 4 to 6 weeks. Before that, I have a 4 to 6 week training block. And then before that, I might run, you know, an 8 week base phase, right? So figure 8 weeks for the base phase. The goal of that, accumulating on a volume, that's just kind of like, you know, a lot of our lifts, you know, if we're doing, you know, one heavy day of a complexes, you know, we're still sticking in that like 80% range. But we're doing, you know, that's where we're doing a lot of our fives on squats, eights on squats, just a lot of volume, trying to just build new muscle tissue, kind of get the body ready and prepared, fix a lot of technical issues. Then from there, you go into like your 6 week kind of strength block, if you want to call it that. And that's really where block one, we accumulated a bunch of volume, accumulated new muscle tissue. We built some new tissue. The second block, we're now trying to increase our intensity so that we can increase our strength. We can teach that new muscle tissue that we just built in the prior phase, you know, how to just have the muscles contract a little more in unison, increase our force outputs, all that stuff that's, you know, maybe we're doing now doubles and triples in the heavy lifts, and maybe we're doing some, you know, snatch and clean and jerk in the Olympic lifts. Maybe we're doing like singles or doubles, heavy complexes, you know, just getting, you know, maybe moving from, power snatch, overhead squat, snatch balance, complex, and block one to now we're doing, you know, just heavier single, you know, movements. Maybe it's like hang snatches for doubles or off the blocks or, you know, something like that where we can start handling some heavier loads. A lot of our strength work is still in there, right? Like in my middle block, we do like 8 sets or 10 sets of 2 on front squats or back squats, right? Accumulating still a good amount of volume, but we're now, you know, instead of doing 5x5, we're doing 10x2 so that we can increase our intensity, but still have some volume in there. Then we go into our peak. And that peak phase is really, I have a lot of like RM work. So I might, I might start like a daily 2RM block snatch, right? And over the course of the peak, I knocked it down to maybe like week 1 and 2 is 2RM at, you know, 8 or 9 RPE. Then week, you know, 3 or 4 is heavy single of the block snatch. And then the week 5, I might say, you know, off the floor max. And then week 6, they got their meat. That's kind of how I would do it. I'm slowly ripping out volume and I'm allowing them to throttle down the intensity. A lot of like the strength work in that phase, you know, I'm still squatting, still doing a lot of that stuff, but I'm now more worried about, you know, I want to get up, get my intensity in, subject the lifter some heavy loads and then get out of there. I don't want to sit there having them do, you know, 5 sets of heavy 3 and zapping their CNS. Then they can't come back and clean and jerk tomorrow. Cause again, the sport for weightlifting is clean and jerk. So I want to make sure they're always kind of ready to rock on that. I might still have them do, you know, like some doubles or triples on back off sets with squats, especially just to kind of keep the speed properties up. And I'll have to have another episode here. I talk about how I use like the velocity based trackers to help me kind of with that. You know, maybe I have somebody work up through a heavy single on the back squat. And then I say, okay, great. That's your 1 rep max. That moved at like slowest shit speed. You're grinding out. Great. We got the loading on the central nervous system because that was the goal of that day. I might have them back off and maybe take a weight where, you know, it's doubles or triples and they're able to move it, you know, at a certain speed. You know, maybe it's like, you know, they're moving 70% for good speed. You know, that's kind of where I would look to maybe use that, still get some volume in there. And I would pull that out maybe the last week or two to allow them to recover. So that is from like a general overview, and a lot of coaches do it differently, but most of them are going to boil down to that's going to be somehow they're going to do it right. Ability to escalate intensity, meaning percentage of 1 rep max, progress the movements or maybe the partial movements of it, like a hang snatch to where then you're having them go from the floor, all to get the lifter in like fighting shape and ready to basically step on the platform and take the full lift. And then it also, you can use certain complex and certain movements as like predictors, right? And everybody's a little different. But if you take all the predictor movements, like somebody's front squat goes up and, you know, somebody's back squat goes up, and, you know, I generally assume if their squats go up and they're good technical squats, they're a good like technical lifter, they're going to have more in their tank. That usually I find like the jerk goes up when the squat goes up, you know, clean goes up when, you know, the squat goes up, everything kind of gets better. So sometimes you might be able to track those individual components and still be like, okay, we're still on track, even though maybe they had a bad training day for the snatch that day. You know, and then you could use different complexes. Like currently a good friend of mine, he really likes it. And I started doing it was a front squat plus a clean. And I'll do that like midweek. You know, so like Monday for me, day one, heavy snatch, heavy squat, Tuesday, heavy clean and jerk, and then some kind of light powers. Wednesday I come in and that's like a, you know, heavy squat plus a jerk. And it's, for me, I like it because I kind of can not be, I don't have to heavy clean to get that same loading in my jerk. But it's also like, I could go from the racks too, but for me, you know, going from a front squat and transitioning into the jerk, it's very similar to the clean and jerk without having to do the clean. So, you know, I can use it as a predictor. Like typically, you know, if I can hit a said weight on the front squat plus jerk on that beat up kind of midweek day, that gives me a good gauge of like, you know, that's probably a weight I can expect to be hitting on stage on one of the attempts, right? So, and it might correlate with some other data that just reinforces, hey, I think these attempts are going to be there. So there's ways to do that. Another one of my favorite kind of predictor complexes I'll do is like a snatch push press plus a snatch balance. You know, most of the time, if I can get somebody to be able to do, you know, one plus one, so one snatch balance behind the, or one snatch push press behind the neck plus a snatch balance, I find that that is typically a weight that, you know, they at least have the overhead strength and stability to be able to maybe put that together on a snatch, assuming their technique and the other things. Now, I'm dealing a lot of these predictors more, you know, kind of for more intermediate or advanced lifters, where, you know, their technique is pretty much there. You're just trying to peak out their strength. Because again, like the peak is, you hopefully have addressed a lot of your technical issues, or like where you're at going into the peak with your technique. It's kind of, that's where you're at, right? Like other than maybe you just learning a little more how to like get in position for heavy pulls, but this is not the time where you're going to sit there and try and like super correct all your technique. This is the time you got to take the technique you got, focus on, you know, the next 6 weeks to really peak all your strength out. Confidence gets up there, because the prior 2, 3, 4, or 5 months should have been when you were doing all of that. And that's kind of how I would view a peak. So the further out you from your meet you can get yourself ready, the better. So, you know, we've talked about programming. Again, how long, like I like 4 to 6 week peaks, you know, it gives you a little more flexibility, exercise selection, you know, with that, I'm sticking to a lot of the main stuff, you know, squat, back squat. Sometimes I don't have a back squat in a peak, if I want to really cut like a lot of my stronger lifters, you know, I might just have them front squat just to kind of keep their legs fresh and have some super specificity to their lifts and not have to have a bunch of like compounding fatigue from back squats. Whereas for me, like I like back squatting in a peak. I get that loading. I feel my nervous system. It's also a huge confidence boost. And I feel, you know, a lot better. Like I can get under some heavy loads and attack my pulls when I see my back squat. So there's also kind of the individual component of the lifter there. A lot of the pulls, clean, snatch, deadlifts, you know, we're kind of working around like, you know, if my goal for that meet is 140 kilo clean and jerk, I don't need to be out there pulling 200 kilo, right? Like I got to now kind of transition my top end strength's been there. Now I want to really focus on moving 140, 150, you know, maybe even 155, 160 with some speed and good form and good positions. And that's kind of how I would do it. I might put myself on a deficit and do, you know, 3x3, you know, speed clean pulls off a deficit just to kind of, you know, get myself used to those loads and be like, I picked this load up a million times in my peak. I can clean this, right? That's kind of how I would work my pulls in that phase, because heavy pulls are super fatiguing. Sometimes people might do one pull or something, a heavy single, a couple weeks out and be good, So you just got to know the athlete and the lifter. And obviously, you know, it's a lot of back fatigue. So if they're already doing a lot of stuff, that's something to pay attention to also. In terms of the lifts, obviously power snatch, power clean, snatch, clean and jerk, like the full lifts. And then obviously like the powers. I do like doing, like I said earlier, some complexes like a front squat jerk. I'm not doing a lot of reps in those. Like I'm not doing like four front squats and two jerks, right? This is, again, I want to make sure that the total rep count in the complex allows them to still hit above 90%, if not more, maybe even like maybe PR or jerk or something like that, right? Whoever it is, but I want them to be able to hit heavy loads. So if you got a bunch of stuff going on and you're not a lot, it's just too many reps or too complicated where they can't just buckle up and get after it, then that complex or the number of reps in that complex or the movements in the complex is probably not the right selection for that period. That's really, you know, where I think complexes have their place in this period, but you have to be smart about it and know the purpose of the complex. And then obviously I do like hangs and I like blocks. Like things from blocks are great because, you know, they can kind of be tired and beat up and you can work that, you know, rate of force development off the blocks. You can still work all that stuff. And then hangs, I really like hangs too. I'll use hang and block snatches as like a predictor. Like I'm typically better from the blocks and the hang than the floor. Some people aren't. So you just got to know your lifters. But like, I know when I can, you know, if I hit, like I remember one meet at the time, my best snatch was 120 kilo. And in training, like 2 weeks prior to that meet, I hit 121 from the hang. And that happened to set kind of different numbers, but same kind of setup as a prior meet. And I was like, it's there. Like, I know on meet day, I'll be rested, but I have the capacity to get it going. Sure enough, I snatched 122 in the meet for a PR. So you can use, and again, that's for me. I have some lifters. I know, like, if, you know, if they're moving some heavy cleans off the blocks, I know that, you know, they can handle it in the front rack. They can get it going and it could be a good day. So you can use some of those as predictors. Now, not every day is max out day in a peak, but, you know, I'm usually like a heavy. So like day one heavy, day two heavy, day three, it's kind of like heavy-ish, but it's like a front squat jerk. You know, I'll probably front squat up to like 85% of my max, and the jerk, it's probably still like 85 or 90% of my max. So it's heavy. It feels heavy, but I'm not really hitting like super heavy 90% relative to my maxes on those lifts, just because it's kind of a complex exercise. Then, so it's kind of, I'll call it like a medium intensity. So like heavy, medium. Day four, definitely like a lighter. That's where I'll do a lot of like powers or I'm starting to think what I did this last block. I did like some high hang powers. I did like some muscle snatches where like the absolute loading is down, but I can get my speeds up. So I'm, you know, still getting my nervous system and everything to be ready to move at that speed and have my body be always primed for that. But I'm allowing the overall percentage of weight I'm moving, right? Like a muscle snatch 3RM might be 80 kilo. Well, relative to my snatch, it's me moving like 70% or something like that. Like, yeah. So that's how you can use that. And I'm still able to go and attack weights. So that's how I use that light day in the peak. I'll have like a rest day. Maybe a couple days of the week is rest day, maybe like one or two. And then I have my heavy. And my heavy day is allowing me basically to prep myself. So I'm paying attention to like how I'm warming up, paying attention to like the weight selections I'm using as I'm climbing. Once I get to a number, I'm kind of like, okay, this is like a potential opener for me. Hit it. You know, and I'm just repeating that over the course of weeks and I can really start to build out like, hey, I made this jump one time and it felt good. Or I made, you know, I went from a 120 to 130 on my clean and jerk jump and it would kind of threw me off confidence wise. So maybe I'll go like 120, 127. If, you know, if my goal was to open at like 135, something like that. So you can play around with that stuff. And that's kind of the purpose of programming throughout that period. All right. So now we've kind of went through programming. I went through kind of the purpose of it, kind of how to deal mentally with it. And well, to follow up on mentally, I think if anybody who's ever done an aggressive peak or done multiple peaks, this is the time you're going to definitely, you know, the central nervous system's getting stressed. You're probably getting a little more anxious about the meet. So, you know, stress is going to kind of be here and there. You got to do your best to try and monitor all that. But you are going to have good days and you are going to have bad days. You're going to have days where I remember one peak, my clean and jerk felt money. My snatch, which is usually like my bread and butter, felt like I just forgot how to snatch. And then the next peak, it was completely opposite, right? So, and then some days your snatch is dog shit. And then the next day you come back and PR your snatch. Or you hit 90% or whatever, right? And it feels great. So I think it's important to just, again, you have to take a step back and be like, I'm accumulating a ton of volume, a ton of heavy lifts and a ton of them, right? Over the course of these, you know, this peak 4 to 6 weeks. And I think that's the key, is we're slowly moving those your best lift on your worst day, your best lift on your best day, those numbers, those data points are still trending towards 100% of your maxes. And that's kind of how that peak goes. So I think that's an important thing to remember mentally when going into a peak like this. Obviously, you know, make sure you're eating, make sure you're hydrated. You know, now more than ever, like in this peak, self-care is huge. So like whether it's massage, whether it's like I got the Normatec boots, whatever it is that you do, you know, you want to keep your routine going. Hopefully you have a routine already going into the peak. You know, I wouldn't be throwing a bunch of new things into this period. I wouldn't be changing your diet too much in the peak. If you have to get your weight on point throughout the peak, you're better off not trying to cut, you know, more than 1 to 2%, maybe even 3% during this peaking period, because now you're trying to lift heavy, but also diet down. And in order to recover, you need to eat. So that's, you know, there's a lot of conflicts of interest there. So I have lifters who, you know, like meet week, they might be like 1 or 2% of their body weight over. And that's where you can do like a light little water cut. I don't like cutting more than like 2%. And that's still aggressive. I really like them to be within like 1%, right? So if they're 81 kilo, I want them no more than like showing up like 1 to 2 kilo over. Any more than that, they're definitely most likely going to have issues, lightheadedness, dizziness, strength decreases. They're just probably going to be dehydrated. And we know that like dehydration is like a humongous performance decreaser. It impacts performance a lot, especially at max loads. You know, when you got max pressure in the system, blood pressures, all that stuff is impacted by this heavy lifting. So I don't like people showing up within that last week more than, you know, 1 to 2% of their body mass in kilos overweight. Ideally, they would just kind of be floating around there, you know, watch their water and food intake and kind of just eat smart, you know, that last week and be able to make weight. But that's something that a lot of people sometimes wait to the last minute with. And it might work out, but they're going to be stressing about it. And that's just extra stress that you should not have had when you're already in a stressful period. Or B, it's going to work out and you're going to feel like shit. And I've had those where it's just not fun. You train for, you know, 20 weeks and you should have started your, you know, weight cut 4 weeks earlier, but you waited the 1 or 2 weeks out because you thought you could, you know, eat less and cut weight. And now the past 5 weeks of your training are going to be defined by one day that was bad because you were dehydrated. And for me, that just doesn't make sense. So I would rather have somebody progressively, just like any diet, lose a little bit of weight over a longer period of time. It's not going to be as harsh on the body and you'll be able to train like you are cutting basically. So that's that. So we're going to go next into just talking more specifically about meet week, and then we'll wrap it up. Okay, so meet week really is that 7 days out from your meet. I'll call that that. A couple key notes here. And this can maybe be expanded out to maybe the peak in general, maybe 14 to 21 weeks out. The hay is in the barn already at this point. And I think Greg Everett said it really well on one of his podcasts, maybe I saw it online. You can't do a whole lot that last week or so to improve your performance from like a training standpoint, right? Like you've built like the strength you have going in the last week, it's there. Like you're not going to build miraculously get stronger in 3 days by doing extra work. You're not going to build more muscle in 3 days by doing extra work. You're not going to get better with technique in 1 to 2 days or 3 days by doing extra work. You know, really, this is just in this last week or so. But you can do a whole lot of things in that last 7 days or so to negatively impact your performance. So a lot of people, I know they get antsy, you know, and hey, listen, like you're at the end of the peak, you probably feel like shit. You probably had some bad sessions. You might be questioning yourself. Can I do this? What's going on? I feel like crap, blah, blah, blah. Like that's all normal. That's your central nervous system being fried out. The whole idea is, you know, a week out, you're pushing hard. You're really having to struggle to finish these hard sessions on the program. And then, you know, 4 or 5 days out, we're kind of letting you chill out. I've had meets where up to like 3 days out of the meet, 2 days out, I've like, I don't know if I'll be there. Like this meet is, I might be horrible in this meet. I feel like crap. Energy is low. Confidence is low. I wake up meet day and I feel like a freaking superhero, like superhuman, just like ready to rock. And I have a great meet, right? And, but that's the idea is we basically want to walk to the edge as quick as we can or as close as we can. And then we pull it out. And sometimes people need a little longer, right? Maybe they need 3 or 4 days of back offs or 5 days. Some people need a longer kind of cushion period. And again, that takes time to develop that and kind of understand what type of lifter they are. You know, all there's a lot of factors that go into that. But generally speaking, you want to try and less is more. When I say less, I mean really just volume. Like still want to go in like, you know, 7 days out, I'm hitting basically what I want to open at on most of them. I want them to be automatic. Boom, hit my opener, I'm out. Right? That's it. Like one set at the opener and I'm out. Probably not even squatting. I might have like a heavy squat, like up to a weight where it's like an RP 8 or 9, just kind of, yep, I did something and I'm out. Right? I'm not doing all my accessories because at that point I need to recover. I need the serving nervous system to stay primed and then I need to get out and recover. Day after that, so now I'm like 5 or 6 days out. I'm going in. I might just warm up to, you know, the last weight I would take before I stepped on the platform. It's like my last warm up. I go out there, boom, I smoke it. I'm done. Walk out of the gym. Maybe like 2 or 3 days out, I might go in and again, maybe on the snatch, I might again warm up or hit like maybe like my second to last warm up or my last warm up. And then clean and jerk, I might do like a power clean up to like, you know, my second to last warm up, whatever it is. But you can get the idea is I'm going in, I'm getting out, and the weight that I'm hitting on that is decreasing. But I'm also really trying to hit the numbers, you know, kind of going up in that escalating scale of, you know, if I'm trying to open at 135, you know, I'm going 100 kilo, 110 kilo, 120 kilo, 126 kilo, 131 kilo, open at 135, right? And those are increments I'm going to hit throughout that week. So, you know, my last warm-up is going to be 131 on the platform, 135, my second to last warm-up. And that's really, but at this point, I kind of know my numbers and it's now just repetition. So when I walk in meet day, I'm ready to rock and I have my numbers and I know what to do there. But the idea of that last week is to get in, touch those weights and get out. Don't be lollygagging. Don't do like active recovery. Like I might say don't do it, but I feel a lot of people, you know, sitting on the bike doing, you know, God knows what, like crazy mobility sessions. I mean, yes, do that stuff, but just be smart. Like that still can stress your sympathetic nervous system. It still can, you know, contribute to soreness, new movements, like new stretches. I mean, like that's not the time that last week to start throwing in new habits, right? Like you should have been having these habits. We want the body to have equilibrium, feel good because it's about recovery, not new stuff in that last week. So sleep, rest is obviously important. Just kind of stick up your routine. You know, like for me, sometimes the hardest thing is staying out of the gym during the peak. Whether just because it's been part of my life. So, you know, it's like a mental thing. Like I like working out mentally. I feel like I'm more productive. I'm a better person to be around. But there's other ways to get that too. For me, outdoors, maybe it's going for a long walk. Right? I'm not going hiking. I'm just walking slowly, right? Maybe it's just sitting outside. For me, outdoors is big for that. But everyone kind of has their own different thing. But the biggest thing is just have a plan in that last week. And I mean, if you're on a good program, you'll have a plan, but your plan should to definitely look that last week, look almost bare. Like there's hardly anything on it. almost maybe like you thought your coach forgot to put stuff in there, but that's how it should be. And then obviously if it's a weight class that you need to watch, you know, watch your weight. But again, hopefully you've been doing that the whole peak and you're, you know, you're staying on top of it. Again, I like saying 1 to 2%. And that's not to say you can't, like, if you're on weight, great. Like I wouldn't overly eat just to be 1 to 2% in range. Like I haven't had to cut for a meat because I just kind of keep my weight kind of in that range year round, and I might be 1 kilo, 2 kilo over here and there, but I can easily adjust that. But you know, that's me. I know some people really will train and cut down. Maybe they have a little more experience with that than I, but I got a couple lifters who do that. We've experimented with both, and we've just consistently had better meets where that week of we're no more than 1 to 2% out. So that's kind of how I would address that last meet week. But you know, I know this was an episode here that a lot of you, I probably lost you in the weeds. If you weren't Olympic weightlifting, you've never done a meet, never went through a program like that where you might not know what I'm talking about in terms of feeling this certain way. But if you are an athlete, Olympic weightlifter, maybe even powerlifters feel this too, but it's a little different. Actually probably a lot different. These are things that are going to be very common in the sport, right? Peaking is something. I don't peak necessarily for every meet because it is like if I did like a meet every couple of months, I don't necessarily know if I'd peak for everyone, right? But and obviously the more advanced you get, you know, my national lifters now, we're basically, if we have to like requalify for something and it's a hard qualification number, we'll peak for that meet. And then, you know, but really we have like two big national meets and they're about 6 months apart. So that's kind of easy because we can basically peak for both of those. For example, for me though, you know, my 90%, 85% numbers, I could hit those any day and just walk in and qualify for where I was at. So I didn't necessarily have to peak for my meet that was like, you know, 3 months ago to qualify for Masters Worlds. I had to have a good day, but I could do it, you know, in a basic strength block. Then I did a tune-up meet about 6 weeks out from Worlds, so about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And I didn't peak for that. I just kind of treated it as a heavy day. Went in, kind of put some numbers on the bar, and it kind of allowed me to kind of have a good starting point to where I wanted to start my peak and be like, okay, if I hit that before my peak, you know, I can expect I'll get a little more from this peak. So it was helpful, but for me, it was just getting the cobwebs off, getting back on stage, getting back to singlet, getting back into that mindset. But again, I didn't do a formal peak for that. So sometimes you have to pick your peak because it is a stressful process. And I remember, when was it? It was, so at American Open Finals, always like in December, and they had last chance qualifiers. And I think that was like maybe end of October, usually like 4 weeks prior. And I had a lifter who basically, we peaked for, I think we peaked in the summer for maybe a national meet. Had a couple, like, you know, 3 or 4 weeks off, or 3 or 4 months off, just kind of regular training. Peaked in November so we could make the finals, something like that. And then we had to re-peak again because in order to make the qualifying standards, he had to really, you know, peak, be ready for it. And because he just kind of squeaked into the qualifying, and then he had to re-peak again 4 weeks later. By the end of that, I remember having that conversation. I mean, he was just beat and he had good meets, but he was just worn down. And he looked at me and he was like, you know, I don't know if I can do this. And I was like, hey, you're beat up right now. Take like a week or two. We'll figure it out. It's your decision, but we'll figure it out. And you know, he's to this day, he's still going, but we look back at that and, you know, this is a high level athlete, college athlete. Like he training hard is not an issue for him. But it's just stressful. Right. And, you know, the more you're through it, the more you can kind of recognize, okay, is this a normal stress? Is this normal to feel this way? 9 times out of 10, how you're feeling is kind of normal for that peak. I'm not saying you should be in pain. Like you shouldn't really have any pain. You might have some stiffness here and there, but you know, you're going to have ups and downs and just ride the waves, but it's really push yourself. Cause when you have those areas of friction where your body, you know, this seems heavy, you got mental blocks, that's where you have to work. You have to push through those. And if your body doesn't have it that day, doesn't have it that day, but don't take yourself out of the game because the peak is really where you can learn a lot about yourself and you can learn a lot about how you're going to respond, because there might be days, like there might be meets you roll up and you don't feel great. And it takes a little bit for you to get going and you're missing some snatches in the back as you're warming up. You're like, holy shit, I'm missing. You got to just keep going, right? Like almost every meet I'll miss a snatch or two in the back. And then it's kind of right about the 80% range. And I'm like, all right, Mike, get your shit together, ready to rock. I've had lifters who missed their last warm up on the platform in the back. And then we're going like, you know, 140 is your last warm up on the clean and jerk. And they're opening at 145 and they just get crushed by 140. But we're locked in, right? Because they smoked it. They've been doing great. How are they going to respond to that? Or how are they going to respond when they miss their first attempt, right, on a big stage? Are they going to freeze up and get in their head? Or are they just going to get back out there? That's going to happen in your peak. And these are the times where you can test yourself and, all right, I made this mistake. Or, yeah, my heart wasn't in that one. Obviously, you know, when you step on the platform, you don't want to have those issues. Just step on the platform and do the work. It's three lifts. That'll define your entire 20-week period. No pressure, but, you know, get out there, have some fun. And that's what the peak's all about, is allowing you to prepare to have that day. And if you peak right, your training is going to be the hard part. Your celebration, the fun part, is going to be slanging PRs on the platform, or at least being out there in a position to, you know, push some weight around it and do what your body's capable of doing. But the peak, mentally prepare yourself, have fun with it. If you got any questions, guys, hit me up on Instagram, Mike J. Dewar. Hope this was helpful. Again, I know this is not the only way to peak, but this is kind of the general kind of outline how people peak. So leave me a review what you guys think. I read them all and I appreciate the time. All right, until next time, I'll see you later.